Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. John Padarakis Sr., the Baltimore-born baker, businessman, developer, political donor, and philanthropist, died on Sunday, age 87. There's a lot to remember about John Padarakis' impact on Baltimore. We're taking a few minutes to reflect on it with WIPR senior news analyst Fraser Smith, who profiled Padarakis for the Baltimore Sun. Welcome, Fraser.
Glad to be with you, Sheila.
And M.J. Brody, who headed the Baltimore Development Corporation for many years. We've reached Jay Brody by phone. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you very much.
Fraser, headline writers sometimes called Mr. Padarakis the bread man, which was only partly because of his bakery business. What else?
Well, he was a big contributor to political candidates.
And so also, that kind of dough.
Absolutely. And he was, he was friendly with these gentlemen. And, he wanted to be able to talk to them. He wanted access to them. So he contributed to their campaign.
He got in some trouble with political donations in 2009.
He did. He gave money beyond the contribution limits. Often the people that write the checks don't know the law. If they're smart, they depend on their lawyers and their lobbyists who do know the law very well. But when they sort of go off on their own, they make mistakes. This wasn't enormous. This was a $6,000 check, I believe, and it just exceeded what was permissible.
Jay Brody, you worked with John Padarakis when you headed the Baltimore Development Corporation. What stands out for you?
Well, he's of the many developer people I've known over my lengthy career. He was one of the most remarkable. It's easy to look back from today and say, of course, Harbor East was going to be a success. That was hardly likely provable to anybody. It was out of the way. It was an old rail yard. A previous developer had looked at it and wasn't moving forward. And John Padarakis wasn't raised to be a developer. He was raised to be a baker. So he entered into it.
And let me just interrupt to highlight something that was news to me when I read it in the Baltimore Sun. I'm sure many people knew, but the Baltimore Sun's obituary said that Mayor Schaefer had asked Mr. Padarakis to buy the 20 acres east of Harbor Place on the understanding that the city would buy the land back from him.
That's correct, as far as I understand it. But
what
then
happened?
The city, under the mayor, decided not to follow up with that thought, so Mr. Padarakis was left with the property.
And describe to us what he did with it.
I came back in 1996 to be president of the Baltimore Development Corporation. I'd been working in Washington for 12 years. And John had built the first two buildings, a small office building that Sylvan Learning was in, and a small apartment building called the Promenade, still there. The studies for the Promenade said maybe they could get $1 a square foot. That's hardly warms the heart of a banker. And it was very conservative, and it was very risky. The next project, of course, was the Marriott Hotel, which was equally risky. Padarakis was going to build it and then sell it to a company called Patriot America in Dallas. The company went bust. He was left starting to build a hotel. It was embroiled in some lawsuits, and he was willing personally to write a check to continue the construction going while the lawsuits were going on. I can't imagine anyone in Baltimore or almost anyone in my experience willing and able to do that, but he did. And the construction went on, the lawsuits were won, and life went on. There was a point when I suggested to John, who is not an architect, I'm an architect, that a little better design would be a good thing for this important project. And he said to me, is it going to cost more? And I said, absolutely. But it's an investment in long-term quality. He said, I'll do it. So he was willing to learn and not only willing to take real estate risks, willing to see the long term. That's very, very rare.
That's M.J. Brody, former city development official here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kast. We're talking about the late John Padarakis Sr., the developer and businessman who died Sunday. Here with me in the studio is Fraser Smith of WIPR News. Fraser, you did a three-part series profile?
Oh, no. It was a long profile that we wrote of him probably 15, maybe longer ago than that. I don't remember.
What sticks with you from that research?
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that Patarakis was really sort of an example of the American dream. He achieved what a lot of people and their parents wanted when they came to the United States. I mean, he was very smart. He figured out some really routine, simple things that helped him. The bread man from McDonald's, that's the company you want to be the bread man for.
Because they sell a lot of hamburger buns.
Exactly, correct. And he made more of them than anybody. He had a lot of trucks on the road, and he figured out how to get them fueled every day so it didn't cost him a lot of money and got them actually out on the road. Now, in the early days when he was scrambling for some advantage, he had given money to store clerks or store owners so that they would put his product at the eye level on the shelves in the stores.
Not on the low shelves.
That's correct. And so whoever it was that was investigating, I've forgotten whether it was federal or state, were able to prove it without a doubt because the cash money that they had recovered had flour sprinkled in it. So that it was
bread
clear.
Flour.
Yeah, it was clear where the money came from. Sometimes he got himself into some difficulty because he did contribute a lot. He was close to people. He did favors for people. And not surprisingly, he wanted some payback. And, you know, he made a tremendous amount of money. And I remember Schaefer saying at one point to me, you know, there are just some people in the world that are never going to make enough money to satisfy them. I think John Patarakis realized that there was a two-way street here. And I don't think it hurt him to be absorbing the whatever he spent for that piece of ground. And in fact, he turned it into something really good. Most people who would drive down there, and Jay Brody and I have done this recently, you know, if you lived down that way 25 or 30 years ago, you wouldn't be able to believe what's down there now. And he did that.
So, Sheila, I would wish a few more John Patarakises for the future of Baltimore.
I can see why from this conversation. The Sun's editorial writers drew a comparison between Mr. Patarakis' development and development today, particularly Kevin Plank's project at Port Covington. The Sun wrote, quote, "When he started building Harbor East, Mr. Patarakis seemed crazy. Because he succeeded, Mr. Plank merely looks optimistic," end quote. Does it strike you that way, Jay Brody?
Well, they're rather different projects. There are different places in the city, and of course the timing is very different. I think there are always lessons to be learned. One of the Baltimore lessons, it's not a happy one for mayors, and I worked for five mayors, starting with William Donald Schaefer, is that the Baltimore market needs some form of city assistance to make the numbers work. That could be tax increment financing, as in the case of Port Covington. It could be a payment in lieu of taxes, that's a break on the real estate taxes, as it was for not all, but several of the projects in Harbor East. That might change over time, but it hasn't changed in my several decades of work to try to encourage development in the city. And the other piece of that is, of course, the city is competing with the counties around it, for which the property tax rate is half. So the need for some form of city of assistance, some form of public-private partnership, shows up both in the Harbor East case and in the Port Covington case.
Frazier, did John Patarakis Sr. ever consider leaving Baltimore?
Well, he absolutely did. There was a period during Schaefer's tenure in City Hall when he thought that it made sense for him to take his operation out of the city.
His business, his bakery business.
Exactly. And Schaefer begged him not to do it, and he did not do it. You know, and I'm sure he would make the case that there had been a good, positive relationship between him and the city, and not just the city giving to him, which the city did. And, I mean, you know, the city needed these developments. I think people tended to look at some of these things as self-serving. For example, the Marriott Hotel was wired for gambling. We didn't have that kind of gambling at the time. And I think most people thought, well, he's done this because the fix is in and it's coming and he's going to get it. Well, in fact, he didn't get it.
Real quickly, Jay Brody, you told us that you think the city needs more John Patarakis's. In a sentence, what would you say his legacy is?
It needs more people who love the city, which he clearly did, who are willing to take their success, their financial success, and not simply keep it to themselves, but to invest it, to take risks for the wider benefit of jobs and taxes and moving the city into a great future.
Fraser, what would you say his legacy is?
I love the risk-taking part of his character. That's real entrepreneurship. That's real capitalism. And I think he did plenty of that and earned his right to proceed to do some really wonderful things for the city.
I appreciate you both talking to us about
Thank you very much.
MJ Brody headed the Baltimore Development Corporation from 1996 to 2012. Fraser Smith, a former Sun reporter, is WIPR senior news analyst. Friends and admirers of John Padaraka Sr. can attend a viewing this afternoon and evening at the Masonic Temple in Hunt Valley. Private funeral services are scheduled for tomorrow. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for being with us on The Record. Join us tomorrow when we'll look at interrupting violence by going to the place where victims of violence get help, the emergency room.